Genesis. We've come to the last chapter of what we're going to look at. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Genesis 11, starting at verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they have all one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Lord, we just pause for a moment as we come to your word, and again acknowledging, Lord, thank you for the gift of it to us, for your words are life. We thank you for that. Lord, thank you we can gather together. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, I know because I have a list of people with just serious needs, Lord, for your mercies, please, and for your help that is just sorely needed this time. Different individuals of our church family. Lord, again, for our nation, we pray for those over in us authority. Lord, you're the one in control. Even though things seem to just be going and happening so quickly these days, you are in control. And ultimately, Lord, your will be done. We pray for them, though, that we may be the people who glorify you, as your word says. And Lord, we also pray for the nation of Israel, for Jerusalem. So many crazy things that are going on. We pray for them. For they have been in your plan for a long time. So Lord, would you again, you're just your will be done there and nothing outside of it for them. Lord, again, I ask your blessing. Speak to our hearts. Open our minds. Give us ears to hear. Let us hear from you by your Spirit, Lord, for your glory, for our good. Speak to us. Speak to me. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis, the book of origins, beginnings, because that's what Genesis means. Beginnings. You have the universe in its origin, the beginning of space, time, action, and matter. The origin of the solar system, the atmosphere, the hydrosphere, water, the earth, sun, moon, stars, all life, insect, animal, plant, bird, fish, the origin of mankind, marriage, the family, of sin, guilt, redemption, forgiveness, the origin of work, toil, pain, of weeds. The origin of culture, civilization, animal husbandry, metallurgy, poetry, music, the origin of nations, of languages. And in chapter 12 of Genesis, the origin of a chosen people through whom the Word of God will come and the Savior of the world. will come. But before you get to 12, you have the origin of essentially everything else that sets the stage for God's work of redemption, saving people. Languages. It's interesting, from historyworld.com, not a Christian site, historyworld.com. The origins of human language will perhaps remain forever obscure. By contrast, this is again non-Christian site, the origin of individual languages has been the subject of very precise study over the past 200 years. There are about 5,000 languages spoken in the world today, a third of them in Africa. But scholars group them together in relatively few families, families of languages, perhaps less than 20. Languages are linked by shared words, sounds, or constructions. The theory is that members of each linguistic group have descended, again, this is History World, have descended from one language, a common ancestor. In many cases, that original language is judged by the experts to have been spoken in surprisingly recent times, as little as a few thousand years ago. One language. Where did they get that idea? Through all their studies. It's like looking at one end of the road and finding out where the road starts by working it backwards. And in the Bible, we have where the road of language starts. And then let's take it from there. Now, you notice what's different, Genesis 11, the origins of languages, is that there's a reverse order here. Because in Genesis chapter 10, you have the spread of nations. Okay, it's like, oh, they spread out here, they spread out there. Verse 5, chapter 10, all kinds of places. Verse 19, verse 20. And it also talks about in their languages. So you go, well, that's Genesis 10. And then you have Genesis 11. Well, the order of Genesis 10 and 11 is structured by theme, not time. It's by theme. And so you have the effect, the spreading out in Genesis 10, and then later you are given the cause of it in Genesis 11, the cause of the spread. It is paralleled to a literary device. How many of you have read all the books of the Chronicles of Narnia? All seven. Come on now, they're good. Okay, well, it starts off, boom, you're in Narnia, and away it goes until book six. And then it's like book six tells how Narnia began. And then you get to book seven, and it tells how Narnia ends. And that's a literary device. So you have to get to book six to see how it all starts, rather than book one. And that's the same here. You have the spread, and then in 11, you're told, here's the reason for it happening. So let's look at this. A couple things. Verses 1 and 2, man's situation. It says, and it's not double talk, they had one language, verse 1, and one speech. That's not saying the same thing. They had one lip, and their words were one. There was a universal language, probably not English, but also it was a universal language in which they all understood. There were no dialects. There were no, I wish James was here. I was going to pick on Arkansas. It wasn't like you were from the north, and you go down to Arkansas, and then they're talking English, but I don't understand what they're saying, or at least half of what they're saying. That kind of thing. It wasn't that. There was one language, but they all understood each other completely. One language, one lip, and their words were one. And then you have the situation of, verse 2, Shinar. So again, we're kind of, 11 precedes 10 in this way. Shinar, people are moving out, but there's most of them are coming to Shinar. And we find that in chapter 10, verse 10, at the very end, in the land of Shinar. So it's an area which is going to turn into Babylon, which I think is either Iraq or Iran today. Shinar. So you have that. They're settled in. Now it says that they dwelt there, they're settled, which doesn't fit with God telling Noah and his children, go out and fill the earth. Well, they're kind of settling in here. Man's situation. Verse 3, man's resolve. Verse 3, they said to one another. Man's resolve, brick, stone. Now remember, it's Moses who's being used by God to write this. Moses. And Moses is familiar with a Babylonian culture. As far as I understand, bricks are a Babylonian invention. Not just this, but they were. However, in the language of what happens in verse 3, Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is having a little sarcasm at their expense. Bricks, we have bricks, and bake them. They had brick for stone. We have stone in Moses' time, stone. They had bricks. Bricks don't last like stone. Bricks are handmade. Stones are not. And bricks are something I can make myself. I can do it myself to make bricks. So they're using brick for their construction. Which leads us to verse 4, man's arrogance. Arrogance. I'm not using the word pride. I'm using arrogance because of the language of verse 4. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 10, verse 8, you have the name Nimrod. You hear Nimrod's voice echoing in chapter 11, verse 4. You hear his voice. Because what do they want to do? Let's build a city. Let's build a tower, a ziggurat, a multi-level circular that steps go up the outside until you get to the top, often used in worship. Let's build ourselves a city with a tower to the heavens. Now, to the top is in the heavens. You can, with the original language Hebrew, you can change that a little bit without doing any damage to what the words actually mean, and it's let us build a tower whose top is to the gods. To the gods. Not just high up in the clouds, but to the gods, small g. Small g. Whatever local god they have. But let us build a tower. We can do this. And a city. Let's conglomerate together to the gods, to the heavens. And here we have what I consider the start of religion in the Bible. In mankind, the start of religion. Because what do we want to do? We want to build something where we can reach God. That's it. A tower to the gods. That is the basis of religion. Think this through. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. What do I do or have to do? And there you have the essence of religion. Doesn't matter what flavor it comes in, doesn't matter what title it's given. It doesn't matter if it's in the United States or if it's in Africa or South America. It's what do I do? It doesn't matter if it's sacrificing chickens or whatever. It's what do I do to make whatever I consider God happy with me. Religion. Because all of Christianity, consistently through all the Bible, is what God has done for us. Done. When Jesus said on the cross, it's finished, it's like, it's done. It's done. And nothing that we do can ever add to what he did on the cross. And so that's why my hope for heaven is through Jesus Christ and him only, his sacrifice, death, resurrection, perfect life, perfect death, perfect resurrection, what he did. That's not religion. That's not religion. And I take that by faith, and it changes lives. changed his lives. But that's not religion. Religion is, what do I have to do to make, to appease God or reach God or find God or something? Do. So here we go. To the gods. Now, along with the tower and the city, you have a name. A name. Honor and glory to themselves. A name. With a city and a tower, a name that will be remembered for decades and hundreds of years to come. A name. Let us make a name for ourselves. It's very, very clear, for ourselves, not for God. Like, let's establish ourselves. By the way, again, chapter 10, verse 8, Nimrod, verse 9, mighty hunter before the Lord. Again, quickly, Nimrod, mighty hunter, hunter of men, before the Lord in the face of God, in God's face. Nimrod, the mighty one. And it says, 10, Genesis 10:10, and the beginning of his kingdom. Again, first time in the Bible the word kingdom is used. And where does he go? Shinar. And here we are in Shinar. So the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom. A name. Well, that's man's doing. How does God, what does he think about this? Verse 5, God's awareness of what's going on. The Lord came down to see. Again, some scholars believe Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is having a little bit of fun with what he's saying here, because the Lord came down to see. So you have verse 4, a tower, a top is in the heavens, but the Lord is down to see. So in other words, the Lord who created all the universe, who stretched out the heavens, who is not short-sighted, he has to come down and see this tower. In other words, it's like when you bend down to the sidewalk to find whatever it is, maybe it's your contact that you lost or something, and down there, and it's so small that you have to get down to look at it because it's that small. It's like, where is it? And that's the picture of the language here. A tower to the top of the heavens. No, wait, the Lord is bending down to see, really, oh my, I'm impressed. I'm just impressed. Well, maybe not. So much for a tower to the heavens. God's awareness, verse 6, God's assessment. God's assessment. The people are one, they have one language, this is what they'll do. Nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. Oh no. God is not saying, what am I going to do now? They're just going to do anything they want. No, the language is more, if they band together, what will they do to themselves? And what is it that they think they'll be able to do? Not that they can, they're not building rockets at this point. So it's not like, well, they can just do anything. It's what that will they think they can do. You know, the good old humanism. Why, you can do anything. Just set your mind to it. Right. Ask me to be a rocket scientist. Skip it. Well, they can just, they will think. And whatever they want, they think they'll be able to get for themselves, including reaching the gods. They do not have a good idea of God. So in other words, they could become completely self-deceived, God's assessment. So he acts in judgment, verses 7 to 9. In judgment. And so as they said, come, let us make bricks and build a city. So God says, well, verse 7, come, let us go down. Same type of structure and language, isn't it? And the judgment is that of confusion. confuse their language that they may not understand. Confuse. So the place is called Babel. And it's from the Hebrew Babel, which means confusion. And the play on words is verse 7 and 9. Verse 9, the name is called Babel because there the Lord confused, Ba. What is it? Ba-lel. Babel, Balel. And Babel comes from Balel. And Balel means to mix. And so you have Babel, confusion, which the root of it is Balel, which means to mix. And therefore, the name is called confusion because there the Lord mixed up their languages. Now notice, this is not 2,000 individual languages at one time. Because when you go into Genesis 10, you have not just anybody can not communicate with anyone, but you have people going, wait, I thought I just understood what somebody said over there. You have families of languages, and they move out in groups into different directions because now they can only understand a few of the people rather than many. And of course, construction stops because they didn't have good union organizers who were multilinguistic back then, as we all know. The city, the tower, comes to a halt. And the reason, if you look at verse 8, the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth and ceased building the city. Verse 9, therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the languages of the earth. And from there, here we go again, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. It's repeated. Why is it repeated again in half of verse 9? It's because it's the inspired by the Holy Spirit way of saying, Moses writing this down, God says, this happened, second time, it did. I'm done, that's it. It happened. And so the Lord spread them. So the Lord spread them. For emphasis. And those who understood each other, according to Genesis 10, moved away. And this is between maybe 100 and 200 years after the flood, when you just do in Genesis 10 and do the genealogy year count. And by the way, when you get down to Genesis 11, I didn't read all these names and years. 11:24. Nahor lived 29 years and he had a son, Terah. And after he had a son, Terah, verse 25, he lived 119 years. 119 and 24. 141. You notice that the lifespans are getting way shorter, very quickly, as the effect, the physical effect of the damage of sin is starting to affect human longevity. So you have that. Anyhow, quick summary of these things. Quick summary. The best that God, that man can do is small in God's sight. The best the man can do is actually pretty small in the sight of God. It really is. You know, even for us, any person who thinks, well, you know, I can be good enough for God to accept me. I'm not sure about all this Jesus stuff. It's like, really? But it says in the Old Testament that even all our righteousnesses, even the best that we can come up with, righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. Filthy rags. So the kind of stuff out in your shop, when you're done using it, throw it away. Don't put it in the washing machine. You don't want it to go there. Right? The best that man can do is small in God's sight. So if we can't do that, how can we lift ourselves to heaven? We have also here that there will be a restoral of one language. Zephaniah, and how many times have you had devotions in Zephaniah? Chapter 3, verse 9. At that time, the Lord says, I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure language, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. And that's peoples of the earth, to a pure language. Isn't that great? A restoral again of a pure language, a single language. There will be a restoral. But notice in this a couple other things. Even God's judgment, verse 7, 8, what he did was tempered with grace. No one was harmed. It's changed languages. No one was hurt. Hopefully you weren't working on the scaffolding and saying, hold on, and it didn't come out that way. But no one was harmed, as far as we know. Even God's judgment. One writer says the only thing that was knocked off its pedestal was pride, which is what happened. Number two, from Isaiah chapter 2, we're told about the restoral of languages. However, God put an end to this particular construction job. And in Isaiah chapter 2, judgment will come again. Isaiah 2:12, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. And then he says, in that day, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. This is going to happen again. Different way. But it will happen. Another aspect of this. In the future, God will have a city. God will have a city. It will be called the New Jerusalem. Out of Revelation chapter 21, 22. Jerusalem. God will have a city. This is kind of like the best that the devil can do through man is to try to substitute everything that God has done or will do. So it's like a city of man here. Oh, no, no, no. City of man is not going to last. As the kingdoms of man will not. But God will have a city. And God will have a kingdom. In the end. And his kingdom will be eternal, unshakable, perfect, pure, holy, and good. And finally, and we didn't get to this in Genesis, because what the end of Genesis chapter 11 leads into is the start of chapter 12. Well, Pastor Gary, that's pretty profound. However, if you go through this whole list, what you end up with at the end of Genesis chapter 11 is the name Abram, which God will turn into Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, Abraham. And through Abraham and through the Jewish people will come the Savior of the world. And so with this list of names and all, one thing we can take away from this is God's absolute sovereignty. Even in these lists of names, to use people and places for his purposes. Absolute sovereignty. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's great. So one thing we can say in church that's absolutely true about our God, he's awesome. So you might have awesome hot dogs and awesome roller coaster rides and all that kind of stuff, whatever. But this is where, in the sovereignty of God, he's just absolutely awesome. Because there is all these names, peoples, places, times, events, leading to the person through whom the Savior of the world will come. It's great. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your incredible sovereignty, for being the God who's over all. And Lord, that really, this is, Lord, I'm encouraged. This is a bigger perspective, because even in all the things of today, The kingdoms of man shall not last. So, Lord, there will be a kingdom that will come which will be unshakable. Thank you for that. So, Lord, help us to be your people. And if anyone here, Lord, doesn't know you, but has been thinking, help them to understand something of that incredible love of Jesus, the Son of God, that he would love us enough to die for us, to take care of our sin problem, to make us right with God from what he has done, not we ourselves, and make us fit for heaven for eternity. Help them, Lord. So, Lord, thank you. To you be the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.